Welcome to the Word of Mom Media Network and Word of Mom Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week sharing amazing women that are breaking the myths that mompreneurs and women who work from business are, you know, dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we are building those bridges between building a family and, you know, raising a family, building a business, all of the things that come from all of that. And you know that I have been attending the National Publicity Summit, and I've been sharing some of the remarkable women that I met there. I've been going to this summit for years. This was really the most powerful one I have been to, with women really honing their messages and just doing a remarkable job of getting themselves out there and branding and everything else. And I'm so thrilled to be sharing Melissa Lyons. She is a best-selling author, speaker, and transformational guide who is passionate about helping people choose to live the life they were meant to live. And by uncovering limiting beliefs and guilt patterns, Melissa leads people to reveal and connect with their authentic life purpose. Through her relevant and relatable journey of self-discovery, Melissa has endured her own undeniable inner battles and self-sabotage. Her heartwarming and profound books have helped thousands embrace fresh perspectives during times of disappointment, struggle, and devastating pain. And I am sitting here with both of her books in my lap, and they are just wonderful. And I love that she has a mission to share the joy and freedom that is created when we live in the moment and continually choose our thoughts and reactions. Melissa, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you, Dori. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm really excited to share you. And before we even start talking about the books, share just what brought you to this journey to write them.
Well, I think the thing that brought me to the journey to write them was my journey to discover what my purpose was, and my purpose beyond who I was as a mother or a wife or a daughter or a sister or a friend, just that thing that would make it be why I was here. And as I worked towards finding out what that was, this book, the first book, I Will Always Love You, came as a result or a consequence of taking that time to go deep within myself.
Wow. I love that the journey within manifested itself in such a beautiful book.
Yes, me too. And, you know, I didn't know that was inside of me. I never felt that I was creative. The thing that I knew was that there was something missing. And, you know, I had everything going on the outside, like I did without, I had everything I needed, but there was just that something inside me that was sort of slowly eating away at, like, this is okay, but this isn't it. Like, you're on a path and it's a good path, but I don't think it's your path. And it just kept, it whispered in my ear for years and years and years. And when I got the time to really figure out what it was, this book came as a result of that.
Wow. How cool. What made you, I mean, was there a definitive moment in your life or the things that happened that this was the way that you came at finding that self-love for yourself and that own healing?
Actually, no, I came at it, you know, like, what do they say, a bull in a china shop. I sort of demanded it. I needed to know. I sold my business several years ago. Well, a few years ago, I sold my last business, and I was still, like, unfulfilled, but everything was good. I had everything, like I said. But it was just not there. So I thought, I'm going to take 3 months off and I'm just going to figure out what it is. And, you know, the harder I tried and the more I decided I was going to figure it out, I think the farther it went away from me. It's the best way to look at it. It's like if you're squeezing a handful of water, like the more you squeeze, the less you're left with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what happened. So at the end of 3 months where I thought, okay, this should be the answer. And it was, yeah, it was far away. So then I had to sit back and really, I had to surrender. I had to listen. I had to allow life to unfold. I had to stop pushing, and I had to start accepting. And I had to realize that it really was an inner journey. And I didn't, you know, you can know something and you can understand it, but then all of a sudden one day you actually get it. And I think that's what happened. I slowly started to get it. And I saw those synchronicities and those messages that are there for all of us, that were always there for me, but I started to see them for the first time.
How I had to write down, stop pushing and start accepting. I think that is something that is incredibly difficult for most. I won't say all, but I will say most have a very hard time, you know, accepting. We're always willing to give of ourselves, but when others give back, it's like, oh, you know, and even for ourselves, it's like self-love, you know, and self-care. When did that become a bad thing? When did it become selfish to actually make yourself healthy?
That's such a great question. And you know why it's really important for moms to ask themselves that question? Because it's, what are we teaching our kids? When we're trying to be that perfect mom and be there every second for our kids and not be there always for ourselves, whether or not they're aware of it, by the time they're a mom, they've learned it, and they've learned it from us. And I think it's time to hold up our hand and say, okay, whoa, stop for a minute, because we're not really teaching them something healthy by trying to be so perfect.
Well, you know, we always say here that perfection is a low goal.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what I think it is. I'm working on another program, and it's called Say Yes to You, Go With Your Gut, Not Your Guilt, and Love Your Life. And as I'm teasing out the messages in that whole story, I talk about a time where actually after I sold my business, I actually had that time. When in your life are you given, like, here you go, you have 3 months, and all you need to do is only what you want to do. Do you know how hard that is? Well, it was impossible for me that 3 months. It wasn't impossible, but I made it impossible. I didn't, because I felt bad. And why did I feel bad? I was just given this gift that we think that we would want. And when we're given it, we don't even know what to do with it, or at least I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to not do the things that I'm used to doing and just really focus on me. And it took a lot longer than 3 months just to learn how.
Well, think about it. I mean, we want to say that there's really not a big difference. There's such a huge difference in the way men and women are raised. And I think it goes back to caveman days. Because think about it. When the men went out and hunted the food could kill the men. So they really had to be focused on just the food. Whereas the women were in the cave trying to keep the kids from falling off the cliff. And once they got fire, not falling into the fire pit. And how do I make these clothes into skin? And how do I keep the cave clean? And how do I cook the food? And women had, so we were, you know, from time that began, we were continually giving out, as opposed to taking in that time for ourselves, you know? And so I think that it's just like ingrained in us that, again, we're self-love and self-care. Oh, you're so selfish. It's like, no, that's not selfishness. Because let's face it, if you are the mom, you are the woman that is running all of these things, if you are not comfortable in yourself, everything isn't working right. It isn't.
It's true. And it's evolution. And I agree with everything you said. And so now we're all these generations later, and we're still not struggling, but we're now being face to face with this opportunity. And so the opportunity is to step into ourselves as we are today. And that's actually what I Will Always Love You is about for me. So this book that we're talking about, this book that came as a result of my like radical sabbatical, for the world, it's about helping to get through grief and loss and do it from a perspective of hope and love. And it's really positive, and it gives us permission to feel joy during times that aren't easy. And the book for me actually takes it one step further. And I think if we read it beyond grief and loss, we can look at it as permission to step into the life we were meant to live, not the life we think we were supposed to live. And that's really freedom.
I agree 1,000%. I really do. Because I think we get into this, oh, this was what, you know, society tells us and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's funny. We are sharing so many self-help because I just think that this is something, especially now with everything going on in this country, that women need. Because if we take the time to love ourselves, we're not going to take crap from anybody. That's part of loving yourself, you know, is not letting people just, you know, and that, let's face it, you know, I mean, it's crazy that we are fighting for our rights to ourselves at this, you know, in the 21st century, you know, here we are. We may as well be back in, you know, the Handmaid's Tale. And it's just, but again, it comes from the self-love. It comes from self-worth. It comes from knowing yourself, that nobody else has to tell you how good you are. You know. You innately know it, and you believe it.
Yes. And you actually said one word that I think is important for us to focus on, and it's like, we're fighting for this, right? We don't have to fight. It's there. We just have to allow ourselves to accept it. It's there for us. It was there for me. I didn't know how to do it. And so, you know, we talk about the things that we do. We have nice grass or new counters, or we paint our house, we've got great clothes, or we go get a great body. But what we really need to do is just stop all of that and don't worry about the outside. There's a little line that I have, in another project. It said, whether you stay close or you travel far, wherever you go, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go for better bodies, better houses, better cars, better jobs, whatever we want, but it's all going to look the same if we bring our same selves with us. Like we have to just stop and allow us, like you said, not fight for it. Actually, no, it's just sitting there. We just have to know what to do with it. We're enough already.
You know what you just said? It made me think of a lyric from a show called Sweet Charity, and the song is called "Where Am I Going?" And one of the lyrics is, "Run to the Bronx or Washington Square. No matter where I run, I meet myself there." And you can't run from you. And that's why, again, self-love is such a wonderful thing to do. I've taught my kids their whole life that the only thing you have in this world that belongs to you and only you is you. There aren't going to be that many people that deserve you, that you should share yourself with. That's why you should, you know, be picky with the people that you bring into your life. Especially, you know, as lovers and as you get older and things like that, because this is it. And if you don't take care of you, you don't give other people have permission to do it either. If you treat yourself poorly, that's the permission you give somebody else.
Yeah. Everything changes when we change from the inside out. It's so true.
That is really the perfect place to let everybody think for a second. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors, and then we are going to come back here with Melissa Lyons as we talk about how people choose and how she helps them choose to live the life they were meant to live. So we'll be back here on Word of Mom Radio in just a moment. As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag. But that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans, take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from StadiumBags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium-sized backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at StadiumBags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we are back here on Word of Mom Radio with Melissa Lyons, and we are talking about the books that she has written, the journey that she is taking, and how do you help people choose to live the life they were meant to live?
So yes. In order to help people choose the life they are meant to live, we have to ask them, or we have to ask ourselves, do we actually know what we want? Are we following our dreams? Are you living your dream right now? And it's funny, when I ask people that question, often, and I'm surprised sometimes because I'm sure that this person is living her dream, and she'll look at me and she'll say, no. She said, but that's okay because I don't know what I want anyway, so this is okay. Because it's hard to know what we want. And I think that's really something that we need to spend some time thinking about. What is it that makes us come alive and feel like we're serving with purpose and passion?
You mentioned what you're doing with, go with your gut and not your guilt. How do you see guilt and the limiting beliefs that it carries?
Well, I see guilt as one of our emotions. Let me try to explain it this way. Abraham Lincoln once said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Most people have heard that some kind of framework along those lines. And so if you look at our emotions and we think, okay, love, joy, passion are our friends, and fear, shame, blame, anger are our enemies. So using that analogy, we want to keep those emotions that scare us close, because you know what? They're just messengers. And so to go with your gut, not your guilt, and love your life means your gut would be those things that make you feel good, that actually tell you that you're on the right path. And then the other ones are just saying to you, like, if it doesn't feel right, doesn't feel good, or it's not aligning with you, it's just saying to you, like on the new cars, we have those lane departure alerts. It's saying, okay, you're not on your path, come on back. And just be aware of that emotion and then redirect what you're thinking, redirect where you're going and what you're doing to align with something that makes you feel like it's right. It's deeper than that, but that's what I would say. Like, if you're feeling guilty, it's just telling you that that's not how you're supposed to be feeling, and you need to just dig a little bit deeper, go inside. Not for days, weeks, months, or years, like 3 minutes, and figure out what your guilt is telling you about your situation.
And what do you do when you realize what it is?
You work through it. You go through a process called have to and want to. And if we really look at the things that we have to do every day that we don't really like and the things that we want to do, and we break them down, there's pretty much almost nothing that we really have to do. Because if we spend a bit of time and say, well, I have to do this, then what happens if I don't? And then what happens if I don't? And you go right down to the end of that, the outcome of it, if it's something that you really don't want and you bring it back to now, you really don't have to do it. You want to do it because you want to avoid whatever the consequence is. So, for example, if you had to take your daughter to the dentist so you can't go away for the night with a bunch of girls and you feel like, oh, I have to go do this, when you actually break it down, you actually want to take your daughter to the dentist because you don't want her to be sick or have a consequence or have a toothache. And we just need to look at things from the point of view of what we want to do. We never have to do anything, or we shouldn't do it.
Well, I have just a quick story when I was down in Florida in February. My daughter was doing some work with me, and so she came with me to Pensacola and then to Tampa, and I had to get her back to Daytona because she had to get back down to West Palm Beach, and her motorcycle was in Daytona. We booked a Greyhound bus. She travels the world, so she's always on military time, so 7:30 is always the morning to her. But the bus was actually 7:30 that night, and she had to get there that afternoon because she had to be down in Miami and West Palm to work. So I was supposed to go to a two-day conference that I got invited to. It wasn't a plan. I just had the extra time, and I wound up having to drive her. And she's like, "Mom, I feel." I was like, "What are you kidding?" I was like, "First of all, the job of mom is, you know, lifetime, and it's my favorite job in the world. Mom's taxi operates nationwide, and we're taking another road trip, so let's pack some snacks." And she was all upset about me missing my conference, and I was thrilled that I got another 280 miles in the car with my daughter because it was that much more time because she's in Alaska now. I have no idea when I'll see her again, you know. And so life is choice, and I just, you know, people laugh at me all the time, and you know, my children's dad used to call me Mary Poppins. My brothers call me Mary Poppins. Life is too short. And if I wanted to go delve into all the negative and everything else, oh my gosh, there's so negative. So much negative we could delve into. You know, it's like a hamster wheel though. And life's too short. This is it. I get to live every single day, and I choose to live those days as happy as I can be. You know?
Yeah. And I think that's really at the core of all of our purpose, right? We're to expand in love and joy and to make the most of what we're doing. And, you know, and bringing it back to the two books, I Will Always Love You and Until We Meet Again, that's what they tell people. That's what they tell the kids, or if it's a parent that's reading it to the kids, it's actually instilling exactly what you're saying in them. And that's where that whole go with your gut, not your guilt comes from. The underlying message in these books as they deal with loss and grief, which is something that we all go through, brings it back to the point of everybody, even when we lose someone, the person who's gone would really want us to live most of our life happy and fulfilled and joyous.
I so agree. And I, you know what? It was the perfect segue to talk about Until We Meet Again. What a lovely book. You know, let's face it, for many of our children, the first loss that they experience is the loss of a pet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which can be devastating to the adults as well. You know, I mean, this is a major member of your family that is the only one that is completely unconditional. And this is really, really lovely. And really, you know, it's definitely brought a tear, you know.
Well, because we're compassionate, aren't we? And we love things. And we don't like to see anybody suffer, especially like when we see someone else in pain when they're sad. So, yeah, it's a great tool. And it's a great tool to instill those messages. There's two lines that I love in the book, Until We Meet Again, that I think help the parent, because we don't always know what to say to our kids if we're feeling sad or if we don't really understand the depth. So if both of the books are written from the perspective of the person or the animal who's no longer physically with us, and it's how they would want us to live. And the first line, the let's call it a dog in this case, the dog says to the owners, "I taught you things as you watched me live. Unconditional love and to always forgive," because they do teach us that, and it's such a good life lesson.
I have to tell you that was the page that I had was open. I had the book open to, because
seriously?
I think that yes,
yeah, I love that,
because I think out of you know all of the beautiful things that you wrote in that book, this is the line that completely stood out for me. Because it is.
Yeah.
It's that your animal gives you that unconditional love and they always forgive you. Even the meanest master still has a dog that lies by its side.
It's true. It's so true. And my second, I don't know if it's my second favorite. I think it's right up there beside that page. But because we talk about self-love and think about even when we're so angry with our pets, we look at them and even if we've been grumpy with them and they look at us with love, we're good to them again. And so it's allow your mind time to unwind and be free. Be as kind to yourself as you were to me.
I swear.
Yeah, talk about the dog calling out the owner. You're so much nicer to me than
Melissa,
you.
I'm not joking. That was the other page that I had I had the front sleeve on the first one, and I had the back sleeve on that.
I love it, Tori. I love that.
These are the things in life that just make me smile, makes my heart sing, that the things that you found so profound in your book and poignant and that meant the most to you were the two things that I gravitated to. And the two,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I do. I just, and well, guess what? You got it right. Because if those were the two things that were your most profound message, at least with this reader, you got it right. Because those are the two things that stood out for me the most of what you wrote.
Thank you. I agree with you. So that's the next kind of part that's interesting when you said I got it right. So I'll accept that I got it right because I brought this book to the world and it got to be in front of you and in front of me. But the power of the journaling and the introspective work I did when I took that sabbatical, which was not really a sabbatical, like I just like closed the switch, but I just really spent time trying to figure out my life purpose. These words came to me from somewhere outside of me, or I guess somewhere inside of me that I wasn't connected to. And I want the listeners to know that. Like, I didn't know that this was in me, and I now believe fully that it's in all of us. We all have access to this. It's just, can we get quiet enough to hear it or feel it or see it or know it, I guess, all of those senses that we have.
Wow. On that note, please let everybody know how they can find you, Melissa.
They can find me on my website at melissa-lyons.com. So melissa-lyons.com.
Please reach out to Melissa. You will love these books. And just let everybody know what you have in the works and give a chance to just say your goodbyes.
Well, I would love you to reach out. I would love to see these books get into the hands of as many people as possible so that we have those words that can help our children and our family and friends who are going through tough times. And if you're interested in this whole aspect of go with your gut, not your guilt, which means listen, get out of your head and into your heart, my program will be available soon, and it will come in a book form. It will come in the form of retreats and online learning. And it's fun. It's really fun realizing how much more we can get out of our life without changing where we are, just going inside of where we are. You know, geography doesn't have to change, and our surroundings don't. We do, and we can.
Wow. Melissa, thank you so much for sharing with us today on Word of Mom Radio. I'm really glad that you are one of the people that I met at the summit, and these really are just absolutely lovely books, beautiful illustrations, but so beautifully, beautifully written. They're really, really lovely. So congratulations to you. You've created real beauty, and I think it will make a difference. And I thank you for taking the time to share with our listeners. And for everybody tuning in, this is Dori DiCarlo here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I want to say thank you so much for spending time with us. And wanted to make sure that you, go out and create a marvelous you. So we're going to close out with Smith Sisters Bluegrass and our fabulous She Is You. So until next time, bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.